Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. On the show today, we'll be talking about a great program that provides books to children through their healthcare provider. Our guest is Dr. Dipesh Navsaria. He's a pediatrician at UW Health and the founding medical director of Reach Out and Read Wisconsin. He's also an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He's going to explain the program and its benefits, and we'll also give you a chance to help provide books to the program when you give $10 a month or more during our membership drive. Today is Giving Tuesday. It's a day to support the organizations that make a difference in your community. And you can join that movement now with your gift for the WPR programs that keep you informed and inspired. And let me take a look at our little screen here just to see. We have a goal of 25 gifts this hour, and this goal is important. It's set to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs you rely on. We'll meet this goal one donation at a time, and let's start with yours. The drive supports the WPR programs that you love and gives books to kids. We're talking about the Reach Out and Read program today, and that Reach Out and Read thank you gift for $10 a month. If you contribute $10 a month or more, you can support WPR and give books to children through the Reach Out and Read program. It works through clinics, and we will be talking some more about that with him once we get our microphone issues straightened out. So you listen to the Ideas Network every day, don't you? You rely on the programs for news, for information, and for a lot of good programming. And I like to think especially during our program, you know, you think about the topics that we cover on this show. I'm thinking about our regulars, the weather guys, our building experts, our health shows, Scott Crave and David Drake and Jamie Knack on with the outdoors shows that we do. Auto repairs, we have a lot of fun with that. And also the many Wisconsin authors that we feature. So what better way to honor those programs than to show your support for those programs with your contribution? And it's easy to do. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. That's WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552. And I think we have Dr. Dipesh Navsaria with us now. Dr. Navsaria, are you there?
Hi, Larry. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. That's great. Good to have your voice.
Thank you.
Hear your voice. Well, what's the mission of Reach Out and Read? Let's start right there at the beginning.
Yes, and of course, it wouldn't be 2020 without some remote technical problems, so thanks for your patience. So Reach Out and Read is a program that's been around for 30 years, and really what we try to do is help make sure that parents feel confidence, comfortable, and really that they make daily reading, shared reading with their children, a part of their everyday routine. Because when they read aloud to kids, it's not just literacy, it's not just being exposed to books, it's also about caring, it's about comfort, it's about hearing language. And the thing is that for many parents, they may not realize that they have to do that, or they may not be sure if they're doing it right. So what we do is we use that checkup that all kids have, you know, all those many visits in the first years of life, which usually include weights and, you know, yes, shots and, you know, listening to the heart and lungs and asking all these different questions. We use that opportunity to talk to families, to talk to parents, to coach, to model, to support, and really send the message that this is important to a child's health and well-being, really across the entire lifespan.
So you say when we should start reading to a child when they're babies.
Basically from birth. Yeah, basically from birth. What happens is that when initially a child, of course, doesn't understand language, but what they're hearing is your voice, and they're hearing the voice of familiar caregivers. They associate it with love. The more they hear those words, those syllables, those sounds, they're able to kind of learn how to reproduce those as they move along. And then as children grow older and become more of a true social being, right? They recognize familiar faces, they smile, they interact, they coo, they babble, they learn to talk, all of those elements. What happens is that they're able to kind of hear that through books that we read aloud and also through the language that we have. You know, we don't only encourage families to only read from books. We want them to also comment on the world around them. There's actually very interesting differences that have been studied in how we talk to children if we're just simply having a conversation with them, as opposed to when we're reading aloud. And actually, children pick up on that. And when they pretend babble, as if they're reading versus pretend babbling as they're talking, there's actually differences that they're hearing there.
Well, I remember talking to my daughter, Emily, when reading to her when she was very, very little. And it was actually enjoyable for me to read to her something like Good Night Moon, as an example, when she was very, very young. And she would kind of get dreamy-eyed a little bit.
And she would coo a little bit, and it would make me feel a whole lot better too. So it was great to have her sitting on my lap or in my arms even while I read to her. And after a while, the books, she would know all the words.
and then she would actually
read the book, so to speak.
So, you know, Larry, what's interesting, though, is that if we asked your daughter or many people, how did they learn how to read well to a child? Many would answer, well, I don't know. I just did it, right? And then if you ask a little bit more, they'll tell you, well, I was read to as a child, or others were reading to young children around me. And, you know, you just pick it up because it's in your environment. It's not something you have to be taught or think about. However, if you don't have those models around you, you know, you can see all these billboards and ads and whatnot that say read to your child, talk, play, sing, and so on. But then you go home and you do this with your 6-month-old, who, of course, can't talk back yet. And you start wondering, am I doing this right? Right? Or to your squirmy toddler, who toddlers are squirmy. This is a normal thing. They're not going to sit still while you go through multiple pages of a book, especially if there's limited pictures or things like that. And a parent who doesn't understand that or doesn't know that, they might think, oh, I'm doing it wrong. My kid doesn't like this, or I must not be doing it right as a parent. So to be able to do this job of parent coaching, of modeling, of confidence, that's the important thing. This is why I always say that, you know, we're not just doing the book giveaway piece here, that we're actually adding in this valuable advice, this valuable coaching. And that's what makes Reach Out and Read so effective and why our evidence base is really so strong. And I will say, yes, we do have a great published evidence base in scientific journals showing that Reach Out and Read does make a difference in the lives of children and families in terms of language development, in terms of daily reading habits, and so on. So obviously I'm biased, but I think we're an excellent investment.
Oh, man. Dr. Dipesh, and I'm sorry, I'd love to hear from you. If you have questions, were you read to as a child? Did you do you read to your children, or did you read to your children, and what were the impacts of that? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Now, the books themselves, how are the books selected for the program?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. So we actually allow our individual clinics to select the books that they want because they know their patients and their patient populations best, and far be it from us to impose a set of choices on them. Now, having said that, we provide plenty of guidance. We talk about what makes a high-quality book. We do trainings on this through webinars and our annual meeting and so on. And we're happy to provide advice and to negotiate for the lowest prices possible when we're buying in bulk. We also realize that there's such a thing as a not-so-well-written book, and we want to steer people away from those. And we also want to make sure that we're advancing the state of children's literature out there. Nationally at Reach Out and Read, we actually have a new project. It's kind of always been there, but we've formalized it. That really is looking at diversity in children's books. It's a concept we call mirrors and windows. Books should be mirrors. Children should be able to see themselves and aspects of their lives represented in the books they're looking at. But they should also see windows, that they're able to look through those windows at other children's lives and what they look like and their culture and their language and their everyday existence. So we realized that books also play that important role in how children make sense of the world around them and learn about it.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, let's take a call. Bill in Milwaukee will give you a chance. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Larry. I used to love to read to children. They just sit there with their eyes wide open. And the one I was especially successful with was Rudyard Kipling's Rikki Tikki Tavi. It has lots of animals, and I was able to do lots of voices. That would get the kids. At summer camp, we did Fractured Fairy Tale, the one that used to be on Rocky and Bullwinkle. The kids would be easy to handle if you promised them one of these stories.
Comments, Dr. Navsaria?
Yeah, you know, I think there's so much in that you know, some elements of what we see in great literature that children adore at different ages are things like wordplay. We also see that as the stories get more complex, that they learn how to problem solve, how to interact with one another, and all of those things make a big difference as well. And the other element of what you're saying when you said about the voices, this harkens to a concept we call dialogic reading, which is a back and forth that you don't need to read solely what it says on the page, but you can consider doing things, asking children questions about what they're seeing, or maybe sharing a family story that it reminded you of, or looking for something in a picture and so on, that books are not merely kind of a tool. They're not just a script, that they actually allow you to kind of use it as a jumping point, jumping off point for all these sorts of wonderful interactions that you're bringing up.
Yeah, Bill, thank you so much. Dawn in Chippewa Falls, your turn. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, I'm a retired primary teacher and reading specialist, and I've taught internationally around the world, and the best predictor of how successful a child is going to be in school is if they're read to at an early age. And he, as he was just saying, engaging them and talking about it so that they're getting the verbal stimulation is the best thing people can do for their kids.
Oh, Dawn, thanks. Comment, Dr. Navsaria?
You know, there's a truism that Dawn may be familiar with in education that up to about, you know, third grade, fourth grade, whichever one you want to pick, we are learning to read. And after that, we're reading to learn. So if we don't have good, solid, fluent reading in place by third or fourth grade, it makes it much harder to succeed in the educational system. I'm not arguing that you can't remediate anywhere further after that. It's just harder to progress.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Dylan.
It does make a gigantic difference in everything for them. So read, read, read. And in fact, before a child can learn to read, they should have 1,000 books read to them. Doesn't have to be 1,000 different books. And if you read a book a day to them, by the time they're old enough to read, you will have hit 1,000 a day. It sounds overwhelming, but just read to them every day on your lap.
On your lap.
Dawn, thank you so much. Yeah, I was trying to think of how many. I probably read Goodnight Moon 1,000 times myself, at least, to Emily, along with some other ones that she got to know so, so well. Thank you, Dawn. Vicki in Lake Mills, your turn. Hi, Vicki.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to share a couple stories I read to my daughter since she was very young. She's now in her mid-30s. Sometimes I would, or often I would crawl into bed with her and read a book. Well, after working all day and preparing meals and everything else, I was very tired when I crawled into bed, and I would fall asleep and I would start reading nonsense. And she would poke me with her elbow and say, "Mom, that's not the way it goes." So I knew she had been listening all the time.
Oh, thanks. Comment, Dr. Nabsaria?
Yeah, when it reminds me of when I was a resident in training here in at UW Health. I was post-call, so I had been up for, 30 hours plus at this point. Came home, my were preschoolers or early elementary at that point. I can't remember exactly. And I read aloud. We were reading a book together at night, so I read aloud a section, and off to bed. And I'd warn them, I've been up so much, I'm exhausted, so it won't be long. And then the next day, I sat down and I opened up the book and I found where we had left off, and I started reading. And my kids were like, "Dad, we read this already." I said, "No, we didn't." He said, "No, you read it last night." And I had read most of a chapter and had no memory of it because of how tired I had been. Yet somehow words just kept coming out.
and the words keep coming out as we talk with our guest today, Dr. Dipesh Nabsaria. It's great to have him with us on this Giving Tuesday, a day to support organizations like Wisconsin Public Radio. I hope you'll join the movement now with your gift for the WPR programs like this one that keep you informed and we hope inspired. And the drive supports the program that we've been talking about on the show today, the Ask for the Reach Out and Read Thank You Gift. You can do that when you give $10 a month or more. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm a contributor to Wisconsin Public Radio, but I'm going to write an extra check. I'm already a contributor, but I'm going to write an extra check because I want those books to go to children across Wisconsin. It's not a bad idea, is it, Dr. Dipesh?
I'm fully in support of that. I really appreciate it. And, I have to say that, even in the middle of a pandemic, we have clinics contacting us and saying, "Hi, we'd like to join the Reach Out and Read program." Right? I think it speaks to how much it pushes the mission of why people go into healthcare. Right, of this caring and love and nurturance that they're able to help provide to families everywhere, that they're contacting us and saying, "Yes, we're dealing with all this. Yes, we're dealing with remote work, challenges to work, PPE, health worries. By the way, Reach Out and Read gets back to the heart of why we did this, and we want to do it." And unfortunately, because of our staff limitations due to funding, we are having to say, "Great, we'll put you on our wait list and we'll get to you as soon as we can." We actually have approximately 25 or 30 clinics that are on a wait list that we just can't provide the technical assistance.
Don't have the money. Don't have the money for it.
The demand is there.
Well, here's your chance as you listen to Dr. Nabsaria, a contribution today to Wisconsin Public Radio. And all you have to do is go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. If you make a contribution of $10 a month or more, or like I'm going to do, just write a check. for at $120 at least, you will become a part of the Reach Out and Read program, because we will be sending books to children for every contribution of $10 a month or more. How do you do that? You go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about the importance of reading with children. And we're talking about the Reach Out and Read Wisconsin program with our guest today, Dr. Dipesh Navsario, pediatrician at UW Health. And he is also the founding medical director of Reach Out and Read Wisconsin. It's a great, great program. And I'm so happy to have him with us today. And we have callers online. I think we'll just take some calls here. Lynn in Door County, it's your turn. Hi, Lynn. Thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it. I've been listening to this, and it's fascinating. I love the news and the information you're sharing. I was thinking about, in my own life, how much my parents read to me. I'm a baby boomer. And I could probably truthfully say I don't have any memory of my parents reading to me. I remember them encouraging me to read, but, you know, for them reading to me, not so much. I read to my kids a fair amount, and I have two girls. Both of them were very successful in school, and I think a large part of that was because they both loved to read. And now they all have children, three apiece. They read to their kids every single night. And I'll bet each household has, I don't know, at least 1,000 books that all the kids in each home have read. And it's amazing to me. It's just, if you build it, they will come. If you read to them, they're going to become avid readers and explorers, and you know, there's no mountain too high when they're reading their favorite book.
Well, that's a great comment, Lynn. Thank you so much, Dr. Dipesh. I want to call you Dr. Dipesh instead of Dr. Napsaria for some reason, but
that's absolutely
cool. I like the first name. You're a friendly guy, and it makes me want to call you that way.
Absolutely fine. I appreciate it. You know, I think there's two things that came out in what you just shared, which is that on one hand, right, it's not just about reading per se. It's about that connection. It's about the togetherness. It's setting up that environment. The other thing is that, you know, it was only a few decades ago in our country that if you were largely functionally illiterate, you could still find a career. A lot of trades were still open to you, and you could actually have a pretty reasonable career, even if you couldn't read fluently and read well. Well, that's largely gone by the wayside. I mean, even things like, say, automobile repair, which are very hands-on, very mechanical, now are largely computer-based, large manuals. There's lots of text to parse. We've become more and more a text-heavy society, and this has made the importance of that early reading and that sharing even more critical. The only other thing I'll add is that it's possible for a parent to understand and appreciate, yes, my child reading is important, but they may have almost no idea how to productively do that at home, right? That, and they may not recognize the importance of their own role in creating someone who loves to read.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's one thing I can say about my daughter, Emily. She, it's nice to see her sitting on the couch with a book. She loves to read. And so her gifts are typically books. And she's 17 years old now, but I mean, she was reading, we were reading to her when she was, less than a year old. So that love has carried through to this day. And she's also a very good student. I mean, she's an A student pretty much. So it's been a great experience for us. And Lynn, thank you again. Margaret in Elgin, Illinois, let's give you a chance. Hi, Margaret.
Oh, hello, Larry. This touches my heart. For 40 years, I worked in literacy, kindergarten through university, and then adult education at community colleges. And I wanted to know if the doctor works with the wonderful free magical resources of public libraries and also community colleges, because I have three in my family that are librarians, and children's programming at libraries is amazing. There's so much richness and welfare, free, 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 if parents will take their children. And starting with babies through teens and adult programs, and then community college, I read books in adult education to grandfathers and grandmothers who'd never been read to. And they loved it, and their scores went up so high in terms of learning to read. We did other things too, but and it pushed up the attendance tremendously. The joy on people's faces. I've had adults in my living room curl up like children under blankets when I read to them. So this just touches my heart.
Oh, Margaret, thank you so much. Isn't that great?
It is. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, some of my friends who may be listening may think that you were a plant because you wouldn't know this, but I'm actually also a graduate of the Master's in Library Science program at the University of Illinois, where I went to focus on children's literature. So I am a very, very strong friend of public libraries and libraries in general. And do a lot of talks and connections with them. And one of the great joys of Reach Out and Read is that in Wisconsin, when a new clinic starts, we, as part of the technical assistance we do, is we connect them with local resources, adult literacy, and libraries. And for some clinics, it's been the first time they've had sort of an excuse to connect with these other organizations in their own communities around literacy. And it's great to watch them kind of build those collaborations at a local level that we certainly don't need to keep facilitating, but that we're happy to help spring.
That's wonderful. Margaret, thank you again. I appreciate it very much. Lynn in Appleton, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I just wanted to share that when I was a kid, when I was little, whole life, really. My dad traveled about 3 or 4 days out of the year, or out of the week. But when he was home, our special, precious time was reading together. And now both my parents read to me, but that was our special time. And he read to me Chronicles of Narnia. When I was very little, he started out with the Serendipity books. I don't know if you remember those. It's a little moral at the end. And It instilled in me a love of reading, a love of learning, and a fairly large vocabulary, I think. But it was just the most special time that I had with him and some of my most precious memories.
Oh, Lynn, thank you so much for that.
That's such a delight to hear. And it's something we emphasize in Reach Out and Read that, look, all parents have that parenting voice, the come on, get things done here, go brush your teeth, put on your pajamas, clear the table. And when you have a chance to even sit and read a book for even 10 minutes at night, it's a chance for your child to hear not that parenting voice, but to hear a voice that's more about love and connection. And I have to tell you, we can observe it when we train our healthcare providers. When I walk into into an exam room and I hand a book to a toddler, and they take it from me and they study it for a moment, and then they walk over to their parent and they hold it out in that read to me gesture. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, they have just told me volumes. They're saying, "I know what this thing is. This is that thing that if I hold it out to you, you might put me up in your lap. And we'll open it and we'll look at it together. And I want you to do it." And they've just told me so much about the health of their relationship in that little gesture.
Our guest today, Dr. Dipesh Nafzaria, great to have him with us. And if you want to be a part of the Reach Out and Read program, you can do it through Wisconsin Public Radio right during our member drive. Today, Giving Tuesday, a time to support organizations that make a difference in your community. I think the Reach Out and Read program certainly does that across the state. And I think Wisconsin Public Radio does that across the state with the shows, the programs that we provide, programs like this one and guests like Dr. Nafzaria. Our goal is 25 gifts this hour, and we only have a minute and a half or so to go before the hour is over. So if you haven't contributed yet, let's meet that goal. Let's make that goal right now with your contribution at WPR.org. or phone 888-202-2552, WPR.org, or phone 888-202-2552. Our team loves doing this program. Our producers with Jill Nadeau, Jane Rotunda, Natalie Guyette, our engineer, Tyler Ditter, and I, we all do our best to give you programs on topics you can use in your daily life. And we hope we also have give you some fun and enjoyment as you listen to those programs. And we, as a group, support Wisconsin Public Radio financially. And we hope that you will also support us with your financial contributions. Easy to do. Just go to WPR.org. It's WPR.org, or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution right now. Let's meet our goal. Let's get that done. Dr. Nafzaria will be with us till 12:30. We'll take a quick look at news and then we'll be back. You stay with us. Make that contribution now. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about the importance of reading with your children. Really, thank you for spending some time with us today on the Ideas Network. Our guest today is Dr. Dipesh Nafzaria. He is a pediatrician at UW Health, the founding medical director of Reach Out and Read Wisconsin, also an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. So what questions do you have about helping children get interested in reading? What books help your children become lifelong readers? What do you want to know about the Reach Out and Read program? I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And we should probably take a couple of emails, Dr. Nafzaria. Mia emailed that she was never read to as a child. And while she can read, it takes her a long time to read a book, especially when she wants to remember things for tests and such in school. Is there a way for her to improve her reading and memory skills at the age of 56?
Well, that's a great question, and I commend her for thinking about that and wondering if there's routes to that. So I'm a pediatrician, so I don't deal as much with adult learning and the data that's out there. I am aware that there's certain research and some things that highlight how certainly adults can maintain memory and arguably could perhaps even improve their memory, their attention and focus and so on. So she might consider discussing that with her own healthcare provider, or looking around online for some of the evidence-based material that's out there that I think makes a big difference. I will also just say that, you know, this is one aspect of what makes successful readers, whether they were read to or not. There are, of course, many other things that get in the way, but we know that if the parents feel confident and comfortable in sharing books with their young children, and that happens on a regular basis, the chances of a child becoming a successful, happy, eager reader and a successful, happy, eager reader as an adult are much higher.
Yeah, thank you, Mia. Vern and Boyd called to say that comic books, especially classic comics, helped him learn to read and become interested in reading.
Yeah, it's funny how much sometimes people blow off things like comic books and say, oh, that's just comic books. Well, if they're long enough, we call them graphic novels. They're a well-known and respected genre in children's literature, and they offer a different way of exploring text and the interplay of text and images. And we have children all the time who really benefit from those and love those.
Yeah, absolutely. Elizabeth emailed that her home is full of books. She loves seeing her children move from picture books to chapter books. She started reading her college textbook to her oldest when she was just a few months old. She is 13 now and always looking for ways to get a new book. Her youngest, age 11, grew up with her older sister, always reading a book to her every night. So the sister reading, and she now looks for creative ways to read with graphic novels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many different approaches, and I think especially in this pandemic time, but even before the pandemic, with families that had to be physically distanced for some period of time, you know, travel, military deployments, and so on. Families have gotten very innovative with reading aloud together on FaceTime or Zoom or things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can join in too. I hope you will at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Today is Giving Tuesday, a day to support the organizations that make a difference in your life. And I'm thinking Wisconsin Public Radio makes a bit of a difference in your life. And I hope you'll support us with a contribution at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And if you can contribute at least $10 a month or maybe a check for $120 a month or more, you'll be supporting the WPR and also give books to kids with a reach out and read thank you gift that we have. And it's an important thing, as you were saying, Dr. Nafsaria, that funds are tight for this program. And maybe talk again, just remind people about what the program is and why this is so important.
Yeah, so Reach Out and Read is a program where we train doctors, nurse practitioners, PAs, anyone who does primary care for children. We train them in how to make talking about reading and supporting parents in being effective readers with their young children using the regular checkups that they all have. We're one of the few places that almost everyone goes to, right? Almost everyone brings their kid in for a checkup. And they do it many times at a very young age and going certainly for years beyond. So we take that opportunity at the same time that we're talking about safety and weight and nutrition and immunizations and all those things. We take an opportunity to build a connection with the family around asking about shared reading, supporting it where it's going well and reinforcing it, and offering some advice and troubleshooting and tips. And every child leaves with a brand new, high quality, developmentally appropriate book, language appropriate book as well, I might add, that they get to take home and keep. So even though the physical book is what we often think about with Reach Out and Read and emphasize, as I've pointed out, if you buy us the books, we're throwing in the doctors for free.
And there you go. And you can do that with your contribution today to WPR.org. Just go there, WPR.org, or phone 888-202-2552. And you will also be supporting the Reach Out and Read Wisconsin program, because we'll be providing your gift. Actually, we'll provide three books to a participating clinic. And as Dr. Nafsaria said earlier, the funds are short. There are a lot of clinics that would like to become involved, but the funds aren't there to perhaps purchase the books that are necessary to keep the program going. So your support right now, really a big help. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And let's take another call. Kathy in Eau Claire will give you a chance now. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for calling.
Hello. This is a great show, and it's a great program that you are organizing and spearheading. As a child, we had 8 children in our family, and our parents didn't allow any TV during the week. And they just read constantly in the evening, and we were encouraged to read. I don't recall them ever reading to us, but the environment was set up so that we would follow their example and be a part of that experience. And as an older adult, I'm still doing that. And as a parent, my daughter and I did read constantly together and develop that love of reading and have treasured books. I still have some books that were the first books ever given to me because they were a treasure to receive. Grimm's fairy tales, But I just thank you for what you're doing. I think it's a great way to reach out, and you have the influence and the opportunity, and I thank you for doing it.
Oh, Kathy, thank you so much. It must make you feel good, Dr. Napsari. I'm sure you hear many comments from people about this program and the work that you've been doing.
We certainly do. And, it's so nice to be able to support others in doing that frontline work and say yes. Because here's the thing, so many of us in primary care, we sadly see children who struggle in school, right? We see them struggling. We see them sadly dropping out sometimes and failing. And we feel helpless because there's no magic way we can fix that with a pill or something in the vast majority. Cases. And we wish we could turn back time and say, what could we have done? And then Richard Reed came along saying, well, here's something you can do. Here's an organized system approach. And by the way, there's evidence for this. So you're not just doing it because you think it's a nice thing. You know, it's an effective thing. And I think, all of your, the people who've called or written in today have, interestingly, they've talked about how much they loved simply reading, either being read to, being or someone who reads aloud and so on. And that's the most important thing. It's not really about how many letters does your child know at this age or what's their reading score or fluency, right? Those are important in certain contexts. This is about a love of reading. And that's what we're trying to start from that young age.
Let's take another call. Alice in Sheboygan, it's your turn. Hi, Alice.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. I just wanted to tell you really quickly that when I grew up, there was a book that influenced me greatly. My father had brought it home from a sale. I'm 67. He had brought it like at a rummage sale. And it's called A Charm String. And I grew up with it, loving it. It was such it was by Albion Fellows Bacon. And so I hunted it out. It took me years to find it for my children, but she was an educator, and she had a twist on some of the great fairy tales, like how after the three bears were insulted by Goldilocks, in her book, they became friends with the bears, the family. And Jack and the Beanstalk. The derivation on Jack and the Beanstalk was wonderful. And it's called A Charm String, and took us years to find it. But we were, and she was from Illinois, and it's just the most fantastic set of original fairy tales that you'll ever hear. Just real quick, the gingerbread boy and the gingerbread girl, instead of melting or getting eaten by the fox or whatever, the grandma and grandpa take them up to a mountain where a wizard sniffs them, says, bring me some more gingerbread. And then when they come back, he turns them into little pink boy and girl flesh.
Go ahead, Dr.
The variation that you're expressing is, this is actually age old, right? If you think about oral storytelling traditions, fairy tales, other things, they go back millennia where people would add their own variations or change it up to maintain interest. Books continue to do that in that way too.
Yeah, thank you, Alice. Vilas in Richland Center, your turn. Hi.
Well, hi. I wanted to get through to you to say that my mother was a teacher. She retired as a teacher in Richland County. But when she was teaching, she didn't have a babysitter back in those days. I'm 82. And she would take me to school with her at a very young age. And I would watch the children reading and things. And so when I started school, they wanted to jump me right to third grade. But your physical being is not ready sometimes as the older children. And so I went back to second and I skipped first grade. But she believed in phonics. And they tried to take phonics out of the system. I hope you remember that. And she would not do it. She said, the child, if he can't sound out a word, how's he going to learn how to do that word? And so we would sound out the words and things. She read to me when I was, she said, all I could do was just look it up here with my mouth open. And she'd read to me all the time. You know, I didn't know what she was saying, you know, but we both were teachers. I was a teacher. We graduated the same day in Platteville, Wisconsin, which is quite a deal because she'd been going to summer school all her life.
Oh, man, that's a great story, Vilas. Comment, Dr. Nabzaria?
Yeah, reading open. You know, again, there's so many things that could interfere with reading. Some of it may be how it's taught to you. Some of it may be vision or hearing problems. There's certainly, of course, learning disabilities such as dyslexia and so on. What we focus on is, you know, when a child just doesn't get the exposure early on, can we at least make a difference there? And then, of course, it lets us cover so many other things. I will say, by the way, in case you're listening or wondering, we are in 56 of Wisconsin's 72 counties. So we've actually, in the 10 years Reach and Read Wisconsin has been around, we have covered quite a bit of the state. Again, that's still only a third of the children we could possibly serve. And we're actually, Reach and Read National Center will tell us that we're a model for, you know, strong, resolute, high quality expansion in different states.
And I should ask you if people wanted to learn more, is there a website or what's the website people can go to? I think we have it posted, but go ahead and give that.
Yeah, if you actually go to reachoutandread.org, it's all one word, or just type Reach Out and Read into Google or your favorite search engine, that will bring you right to the National Center webpage. We have a Reach Out and Read Wisconsin one that if you just type that into a search engine, it'll pop up and give you all sorts of information about where we are in Wisconsin, but also about the national model that's there. I'm also going to throw in that if your listeners aren't sick of hearing my voice at this point, we also have a brand new podcast for Reach Out and Read, of which I'm the host, and that just started in July. And if you just go to reachoutandread.org/podcast, you'll find the landing page for that and can listen to that at your leisure.
All right. Well, let's take a call from Franco in Grand Marsh. Hi, Franco.
Hi, good afternoon. When I was a youngster growing up in Milwaukee, me and my siblings, we fell in love with the joy of reading in a not quite traditional way. My mother and father would tell us stories, and they'd make them up as they go. And no books. They never read us books. They read us stories that they made up. But they were good stories. But I don't think they realized it at the time. By them telling us those wonderful stories as youngsters, well, where do you find stories? They wound, you find them in school books and library books and all kinds of beautiful stories. That's what drove us to really love to read. God bless.
Oh, thank you, Franco.
That's so wonderful. And what you're talking about is something that the fancy term is narrative competence, right? And children learn from a surprisingly young age, even in board books, about stories having a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that helps them learn how to articulate things, even in a formal presentation someday, you know, as an adult. You know, what we're doing is actually fancy forms of storytelling, even if what we're talking about is not fiction.
I was flashing back to some of my stories. I had a story involving two young girls that I would try and tell a different version of it. And the daughters always wanted to have me tell another story about Sarah and Myrtle. They'd get into all kinds of little problems. Well, we are on Giving Tuesday, and it's a day that we kind of look forward to. I think at Wisconsin Public Radio, we look forward to it, not only because you support, it's often a time when you as a listener will support Wisconsin Public Radio, but it's also a time when we can support other organizations, especially great organizations like the Reach Out and Read Wisconsin program. And that's really important to us because we feel a need to provide a public service and a light and shine a light on programs that impact in a positive way communities all over Wisconsin. And the Reach Out and Read program reaches roughly two-thirds of the counties in Wisconsin. And we are hoping that it eventually reaches all 72 counties in the state. And part of that, you can help with part of that today with your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. So it's a chance to support Wisconsin Public Radio, the programs you love. It's a chance to provide some books for children. When you contribute $10 a month or more to Wisconsin Public Radio, we'll be providing three books for each person who contributes to a participating clinic. And there are more than 260 clinics in 55 Wisconsin counties that take part in that Reach Out and Read program. So it's a chance for you to do that. We don't have a goal for this half hour. We met our goal the first hour of the program. We don't have a goal this hour. But our goal is to get as many folks as we possibly can to contribute, not only to support Wisconsin Public Radio, but to support the Reach Out and Read program. As I said, I think this program in particular, we like to think about topics that we cover on this show that help you have a better life and maybe have some fun while you're doing it. And we kind of provide that sort of programming here from 11 to 12:30 every day. And so it's kind of a little vote for the Larry Mueller show and all of the gang that we have here for the show. We really appreciate your support. We love doing the show and we love hearing from you and we love your support. So if you want to contribute, I hope you'll do it right now. Go to WPR.org. or phone 888-202-2552. That's WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller with my guest today, Dr. Dipesh Nabsari. It's great. We'll get him back to do it again. But for now, contribute at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you. I'm Larry Mueller.